You may be right, and welcome to the Morning Edge. I'm Floyd J. Winters, and here we are on a Wednesday morning with interesting news to report on the Morning Edge. And to my right is Augie. Good morning, Augie.
Good morning, Floyd, and good morning, Tampa Bay. Whew. Oh, my God, what a breath of fresh air Mr. Boehner must be having right now. We have walked in our studio, Freddie, who's going to be helping me on Friday. He's going to be on Fridays here with us to share in the activities. He's Freddie Morris, right? You want to speak into the mic, Freddie? Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
That's right. So just answer me at this point. You're a student at SCF. What's the title? It used to be Manatee Community College. Now it's
State College of Florida.
Yep. So we're going to be talking about a few things that are happening right now, and just kind of intersperse, if you like. You're here to kind of reorient and orient. So Mr. Boehner is free at last. He's been in prison, the prison of the caucus that has chained the Republican Party to the axiom, the truth of Ronald Reagan, which is government's the problem, never the solution. And they followed that, and they take you right down the rabbit hole when they do that. The coalition is developing over there in the Middle East, Russia, Syria, Iran, and Iraq. Save Syria, save Assad. How long? Let Putin do it. Will Putin become the target of ISIS? I would bet on it. And then, Floyd, you got the Trump budget.
Well, what do you think about Trump saying, you know, on this weekend, let Putin take care of it, let Syria take care of it, let them fight on their own over there. So that was his comment. And it's their problem, let them deal with it. What do you think about that, Augie?
Well, that is an argument, and it all along Russia has been interfering, so to speak, in the Alawite head Assad from leaving and stepping down.
Russia is saying, here's the argument that Trump and Putin makes, that we decided to take out Saddam Hussein, who was controlling the region and kept al-Qaeda out of Iraq and stabilized the region. Putin and Trump are saying the same basic thing. And so what do? By getting rid of them, we created all this chaos in that area. We got rid of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, and now we have al-Qaeda and we have ISIS in Libya. So what have we accomplished by removing people, these bad characters like Muammar Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein, and now we want to get rid of Assad in Syria, which offers possibility of stability in the area? What are we accomplishing?
Well, I do think there's a difference in that. I mean, there's no question Saddam Hussein murdered Kurds with gas that we provided them, mustard gas and other things.
And he murdered millions of Iranians with similar weapons that we supplied him because we wanted him and egged him on to fight Iran.
Well, this was our motive for going in, supposedly. And because, of course, we knew Saddam Hussein did 9/11. We know that he did that, of course.
And he's being sarcastic
joke,
right now.
In case you didn't know, we're
15 and 19 hijackers, and I can't say it enough times, 15 and 19 hijackers came from oil-rich, Bush-friendly Saudi Arabia. None of them came from Iraq. We destabilized Iraq and allowed al-Qaeda to come. There used to be Christians in Iraq. Women used to have rights in Iraq. Christians aren't there anymore. The Jews are not there. It's a destable, chaotic information. And Putin's saying, what have we accomplished by taking out this person? We'll do the same exact thing in Syria. We'll have him replaced with a person who cannot hold down the government and will allow ISIS to have more power.
Well, the irony in this whole thing is, of course, two-thirds... So people understand what they're talking about in terms of populations, and that has a lot to do with how a country is run. The dominant populations tend to be the governing populations. But in the case of Iraq, it wasn't. It was a minority of Sunnis running a majority of Shia. Two-thirds of Iraq are Shia. That's the more moderate version of Islam and, frankly, a more civilized version. They're not the nicest people if they take you to court. But unlike the Saudi version and the ISIS version, which are one and the same, by the way, in Saudi is dominantly Sunni. Baghdad is dominantly Sunni, but primarily have been sectarian, as was Saddam Hussein. In the case of Syria, you have an Alawite, which is about 15% of the population, and that, the head of that of Syria is Assad, and he has been particularly brutal against anybody that protested. He's been flying flights over the civilized areas and they're chasing all levels of population, that is, poor, rich alike, with barrel bombs, because the dominant population of Syria, as I said, is Sunni.
Well, that's not the reason because they're Sunni. He's doing it to keep down the rebellion.
Well, these are civilians, but to not understand the Sunni issue is to not understand why ISIS is showing such power in Syria because of the Sunnis. Because when an ISIS, which are Sunni, Madrasa, Wahhabi, jihadist, that is the most extreme people who follow the Moses law in the extreme form, which is called Sharia. People think it's different than the law of Moses. It's one and the same, folks. Muhammad took it right from Moses. And the thou shalt not or else provisions of if you offend something, you lose it. That is your eye, your head, your neck, whatever, your hand, your left, your right, whichever they decide. And then you've satisfied God's wish, or you die, or you're stoned, or you're hung. All these lovely things that are coming right out of Saudi Arabia. That's the root of ISIS. That's the root of Al-Qaeda. That's the root of the Taliban. All of the most extreme versions of Islam primarily are Saudi. And Saudi imposes leaders in these different countries, except in the case of Syria. And that ISIS would come in and impose a more extreme version of Sunni Sharia law in Syria. That would be, if we let this thing go unencumbered, and Russia's right in that. What may happen here, the Alawites and the Iranians, which occupy 40% of the Sharia of Syria, they would side with Iran. Iran and their military would come in and dominate ISIS. If that happens, Floyd, you really have a strong point for what Trump is saying, and just let it happen. Stand back and watch. The people suffer. They flee north into Europe to try to escape all this. Predominantly, these people are showing up in Germany, where they're targeting because they're accepted. Germany has a declining population. They're willing to repopulate Germany this way, and they have a very aggressive, strong economy there. What happens to the rest of these people is about 4 million people who have fled Syria. This is a fact.
If the United States wasn't trying to destabilize Assad's government, trying to do regime change, there wouldn't be the necessity for Assad to be attacking his own people. He would have had it under control already. And what happens? We helped to destabilize
The reason he's done what he's done is because of us.
Part of the reason why it's become such a volatile area is because of the support of the United States to overthrow Assad. It probably could have, if we worked in coalition with the Russians, who are right there, and the Iranians, and with Assad, we could basically decimate ISIS. We could probably not decimate, but could control them. The fact is, we have three major powers who are opposed to ISIS, and then if you add Assad into the thing, we could get rid of this huge cancer that's on society right now.
Well,
but we won't work together. We're having these ideologies that we have to have a democratic regime in Syria.
Freddie, you had something to say?
I was going to say I disagree with that. It makes more sense.
What makes more sense for you, Freddie?
Well, all the powers, you know, against this big group that's getting bigger, ISIS, you know. Being young, 20 years old, being young.
You're 20 years old, Freddie? Okay, you're going to speak into a different mic.
Sorry, guys.
There you go.
Being of a younger generation, you know, on behalf of, like, all my peers, I mean, I can't really speak for everyone, but I can say that, you know, it is scary, you know, because we don't know what the world's going to be like soon. Mm-hmm. And not just because of the upcoming presidential debate or candidacy, we just don't know. You know, and a lot of people aren't really concerned about where this country's going. Our young folk aren't. And it's
Are not concerned.
You know, some people express it, but it's not like, wow. You know, they don't see that, whoa, this is actually going to affect us.
You do know what, do you have some idea what the history of this country is in terms of religion?
It was based on Christianity.
Well, what part of Christianity? Because when you talk about the conservative version of Christianity, you're talking about Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all of that. Oftentimes, people who call themselves Christian are really following the Ten Commandments, yeah. And they're really wanting, what I call wannabe Jews. They want to follow the Israeli Jewish mode. And they want to do it because they want to be judges of everyone else. And the born-agains are often in that category. You give enough power to those people. Do you know what happened in Salem at the beginning of this country?
The witch trials?
The witch trials. You know what that was about? You don't.
Your version, not the history book version.
So what's the history book version say?
Basically, a lot of people persecuted. A lot of craziness going on at the time, and a lot of people persecuted because of witch. Christians were like, oh my gosh, this person's a witch. Get rid of them, and it's just a big massacre.
Who were called witches? Not men. They were called
mostly women. Older women, too, at that.
Yeah, very often women were called witches if their husband had died and they inherited property. The way to steal the property from the woman was to call her a witch, because in those days, and before we had full law, women were property. Even until 1921, under the law, black people and women were property in many respects, and women had no right to vote.
And it's interesting that the black man got the right to vote before the woman did. The Indian, the American Indian, after World War I, got the right to vote because of their contributions during the war, got the right to vote before the white woman did as well, before the woman did. So it's interesting how our history played out in that respect.
It is very true. So there's many of the trials, the witch trials, if you start to look at the background, the husband dies, the woman is free to meet other men, the guy that gets rejected is jealous, and others around see that this land that she owns now, under the law, is vulnerable if they use the religious law to do it. Now, when people were caught in adultery, the origins of a certain word that we can't use on the air explicitly. Are you familiar what happened when they put in the stocks, what was carved on the stocks? Okay. When they put people in the stocks, a man or woman caught in adultery, they carved in four unlawful carnal knowledge. So the the people walking by would comment, oh, those are effers. Only they use the word that we have made a noun, an adjective, and a verb routinely. So we've inherited our vulgarisms from Puritanism, ironically. Niggard comes from niggardly. These terminologies have been bastardized terms, in various ways, acronyms or whatever, that justify a condemnation or diminished people, humiliating people, putting them down, what have you. So that's kind of the background. So we could easily go backwards, and when women's rights, as in the hearing yesterday with Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood has a few abortions, not many. They provide birth control, protection, all kinds of things for people too poor to get health care any other place, people on Medicaid and so forth. Floyd, you were going to talk about the Planned Parenthood thing.
Okay, we're going to stay on that topic.
Well, I'm just circling back.
Yeah, we are.
Segueing back.
And the Planned Parenthood, so we're going to, okay. The Planned Parenthood is an issue right there that I think is deserving of discussion. It's been a big issue because of some videos that came up. They were edited videos that showed just portions of certain things. Unfortunately, it did tell about selling human tissue. There is an issue on that. If you have this, a lot of people, scientists, people who care about the children, who care about what's going to happen in the future, parents who are allowing this to be donated, are using this for research, stem cell research and other different kind of research. The law says it cannot be sold for profit, but unfortunately the law does say that it can be sold.
They trade,
you're paying for cost of harvesting
that
this.
Cost, yeah.
The videos seem to be repulsive. They are edited. Are they really
what they
indicative
did.
Of what's actually happening? Yeah. There's the argument that it's only less than 1% as far as abortions go, and then this other different feature of selling some of this tissue is a very, very small thing. But if that really is an issue, and I think Planned Parenthood would agree with this, pass a law saying what you specifically want to be illegal for Planned Parenthood. Do you want Planned Parenthood to stop giving out birth control, to stop giving gynecological exams, to stop giving tests for STDs? Are that the thing you want to eliminate to take away the rights of women to get
really
reproductive health and
really
care?
I'm just interjecting.
Or are you just interested in outlawing that one thing? You could basically make it simple, pass a law, and I think you'll find even Democrats supporting this. What is it that you want to outlaw and allow that to happen? We've got a caller on the air. And caller, I'm going to put you directly live right now. And if you want to weigh in on one of our issues, welcome
gentlemen.
To the Morning Edge. What is your name?
Good morning, gentlemen. The good Lawrence.
This
you
is
are that
Lawrence
far.
Number one or number two?
Completely. The line is cut.
Lawrence, what's
okay, up? Okay, now you're coming back a little bit. Okay, you're starting to... You're coming back on.
All right, good
okay,
enough.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Are you calling to let us know that we were not being heard very well. He's
I'm not sure. I'm looking at our levels. Our levels are sounding good.
Maybe what it was, I wasn't speaking fully in the mic, and that's probably what Lawrence
Your levels look good, too. I'm watching these sine waves right here from our recorder.
Well, good, Lawrence, if you have any thoughts on what we're talking about this morning, please call back.
Yeah.
Well,
so anyway,
coming to your point, I'm interjecting. I won't interrupt your flow of thought. The business of making a rule. This group that cited statistics, when Ms. Richards pointed out to them that the stats they were using for an anti-abortion group that put up these statistics and the picture of the baby that was, or the nearly born, partial born baby, whatever it was, kicking and doing what Carly Fiorina said, was from some other situation.
And that's worth saying. The photo that Carly Fiorina was referring to, the pictures, the video, and her debate was not a Planned Parenthood photo. It was from some other different source, and it was to represent what it might look like. And that was not fair. Caller, you're live on 1490 AM. Do you want to weigh in?
You guys were, in that moment, you guys were completely cut off.
We were cut off.
It was a low signal. It was cut off, but then eventually it came back on, like somebody cut the wire.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
So you can hear us now.
That's what it was. It was just boom, nothing.
Huh.
Okay.
Well, maybe we've got some hackers out there.
Well, it's hacking the
system, man. We have this one caller, and there's two callers by the name of Lawrence. This caller that was on just now calls himself the good Lawrence, and it's gotten to be a habit of calling one the bad Lawrence and the other one the good Lawrence. In any event, the Cecile Richards stood her ground pretty well.
And she's the CEO of Planned Parenthood.
She makes $500,000 a year, $500,000. They have a $21 million budget that they give health care, not just abortions and things like has been characterized. And they're not supposed to commingle their monies. They've pretty well shown in their budgets that they don't. But this group of House members, I forget the guy that was in charge of that committee, basically was filibustering against her and not letting her answer questions as they were brought up. So the intent is not about being fair and honoring the agreement that was formed under the Reagan administration that the sale of the fetal cells would be to maintain the cost of research and things like that, Floyd. It was not about some other thing. And these guys that are making this problem now are contriving, in my honest opinion, a situation. And,
oh, absolutely is what's going on. They're making political hay out of this. I think it's worthy of an investigation. and but take
they,
a look at
they didn't but, they didn't bring the guy in who did the video of the baby that was alive that was whose parts supposedly were going to be used, which in truth they weren't.
And again, it wasn't a Planned Parenthood video, it was just shown as a Planned Parenthood but there were some discussions from Planned Parenthood people during some procedures that are drawn into question. And so what the idea is for them to get rid of Planned Parenthood and replace it with tens of thousands of other organizations. Now, that makes it a lot more difficult to control, a lot more difficult to police, a lot more difficult to regulate, and probably opens it up to even more abuses if you do just exactly that. Mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood has helped probably millions of Americans, especially people who cannot afford birth control, cannot afford
the STD
test.
Well, they treat men also, by the way. They don't just take care of women.
And so they have a wonderful resource.
But it's basically the people on Medicaid or people who aren't on Medicaid who can't afford anything. Our health care system is a shambles. It's been improved with Obamacare, but that's still not enough. I think they've only added to the rolls of health care about, I think, between 16 and 20 million people. And there's still another 20 or so million people who have nothing. And
but if I was the CEO of Planned Parenthood, I simply said, here's what we've done. If you feel it's wrong, simply let's modify this, pass a law, give us the regulations that we can abide by. If there's any kind of punishments to be meted out, we'll take them. But you can't, for 99% of their services is helping women with their reproductive health. And they've done a wonderful job. It's been highly touted.
I'm going to be facetious now. I'm a little tongue-in-cheek here, Freddie. Why bother about women's health? I mean, hey, they're just the carriers of our children. If they have a random sex, they can carry disease, and let them do what they do. I mean, that's what they do in other countries. There's no Planned Parenthood in Africa to speak of, in some of these poor countries. Just let them run around, in all form of behavior, contaminating the society, and just let it happen. Why bother with organizations that look for health or say they look for health? This business of I'm just acting like the conservative that says who gives a damn, who gives a damn? They we have the children of the people who get thrown into ignorance by not getting an education, thrown on the streets to do whatever when they become a pain in the rear end for the parents. You know, why do we care? Why do we care? Why do we care, Freddie?
Personally, I care because growing, I was a foster kid when I was younger.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, life could have been better for me, but I think it's necessary. It's something that's necessary. I mean, Planned Parenthood is obviously necessary. But, I mean, there's health departments they can go to get some of the same treatment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about abortions. I mean, because I haven't had a need to get an abortion.
You can't do that in the health.
You can't?
No.
Mm-hmm. Did not know that.
They don't have, it requires a facility. And so what they end up, if you're in the spontaneous abortion, that is a woman having one unprepared for, she's having an abortion. But if she wants to get an abortion, you almost have to go to someone set up for it. Mm-hmm. And it requires medical care of a kind that's being diminished in the medical schools, but because of the headaches, the political headaches, and the fear of doctors and the cost of insurance, of providing that because of the radicals in our country. So when we talk about radicals in another country, here we have them right here. We've had doctors in clinics out in Kansas were shot, where people, one guy was delivering, going in the pews and collecting money in the money plate, and he happened to be a doctor who did abortions. And this one character in a Catholic church went up and shot him in the head, right in the aisle. So this is the kind of stuff we talk about other countries and the intolerance and the meanness. We got a share of it here. I mean, you guys, Freddie is is a handsome black man, and I say that because he is, and he's a young man, and he's bright, and he's going to get a bit more informed by being part of this show. But the issue is, we've seen the police randomly shoot people, break their back, and kill them that way. And it just seems for a period, we were having every other day somebody being shot on video.
The other Freddie was Freddie Gray. He had that happen to him on a bicycle, and he was picked up for some reason. I never quite found out what the charge was on the bicycle incident, but he was picked up by the police, put in the van, handcuffed, and then they drove fast and slammed on the brakes in order to actually purposely hurt him. This is a policy they had been following, and that's part of what Augie was referring to. We have a caller on the air. Caller, welcome to the Morning Edge.
Good morning. This is Dr. Tom. How you doing?
Welcome, Talker Tom.
Yes. Throughout history, women have always had abortions. The Egyptians performed abortions. They will do it anyway. So the only compassionate thing to do is to legitimatize it and have it done in a sterile environment, like a doctor's office or a hospital. And I don't know why the Republicans care so much about killing babies when they kill babies all over the world.
It's interesting that they are the first people in favor of capital punishment. They are the people who are in favor of allowing as many people as possible to carry even assault weapons. And they're not concerned about the death caused by those assault weapons. They're not concerned about the deaths of capital punishment. But they are concerned about protecting these children. But they're not concerned about their education as much as Democrats are. They're not concerned about what happens to them if they go to prison. They have a different regard for their sanctity of life once they are real, living, breathing human beings. And it's I find that a bit of a hypocrisy from the Republicans. So we're speaking to Tom on the Morning Edge.
Morning, Tom,
you want to add a little bit more?
Do you have any
That's all I wanted to say. They usually bring up planned abortions when they have nothing else and they know they're wrong about everything else. Mm-hmm. So they pretend to be religious and they care all about babies and stuff. They don't. It's just a distraction.
It's interesting.
They don't have plans for, like, the tax code, except for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. No one else has an honest plan for taxes.
Maybe.
They don't have anything. All they are is negative. And
well, why do you, Tom, I've got to ask you a
Democrats.
Question.
When Benghazi, and they keep talking over and over about
hey Tom,
the computer thing with Hillary Clinton and
her emails.
Yeah, Tom, you said, unlike Trump, who seems to have a plan, what plan do you think Mr. Trump has? What is your opinion on that?
He said anyone who makes $25,000 or less doesn't have to pay any tax.
Yeah.
If you make $50,000,
that's if a couple makes 50.
Cut. And he's going to tax the big rich people who don't pay tax anyway. I've known millionaires, and I guarantee you, they don't pay any tax. They pay lawyers.
Right.
But they do not pay tax.
There's been
they do pay taxes, but sometimes they pay at a smaller rate.
Well, in fact,
they have tax-deductible charity organizations, which usually they own.
The evaluations
it's a scam.
They do have a loophole.
They do not pay tax. I guarantee you that.
The latest,
they don't pay tax.
Tom, just let me give you a couple factoids here. The latest numbers, ironically, are the top 1% will get a cut in their taxes. They go from 38% down to 25%. Corporations, I think, go down to 20 from 35. The upper 90% will get a $250,000 a year tax break. The bottom 90%, which includes the $25,000 a year income thing, and with the wife together, $50,000, they get a $250 break per year, and that doubles for two people. So Trump is interesting, but he's left out, he's cut the inheritance taxes and all kinds of other cuts that benefit the wealthy. Now, if you out there think that inheritance tax shouldn't be paid, then you must have a lot of money, because the fact is that the first $6 million you have in most trusts is not taxed anyway. So you should care about an inheritance tax of the extremely wealthy. And we saw the same situation happen in 1931 when we had this bloating of the the upper whatever you want to call them, and now we have the situation we have with a call for reform. We have a caller?
We do have a caller, but we'll get to him right after our
break. Okay, thank you very much. I'll let you get to the other caller.
No.
By the way, if it's the bed, Lawrence, I am a doctor.
Are you a doctor?
Dr. Tom's not a real doctor. I'm not a medical doctor.
Oh, you're the doctor, Tom. You had a show here at one time, didn't you, Tom?
Yes, I did have a show, and I'm coming back.
Oh, are you?
I have my co-host, Miss Rosebud, with me right here.
Oh.
Would you like to say hello to her?
Yes, sure would.
Thanks.
Hello, Rosebud.
Hello.
Hey, I've met you. I'm Augie, and we've talked and all of that. So, anything you want to say, Rosebud? Oh, I think we lost him. So somebody cut that off. Do we have another caller?
I think we're going to take a commercial break right now. And callers, if you want to give us a call after the break, call us at 941-745-1490.
You want to look at what you have to do with the board there.
Sarasota is home to a true gift. The Posture Clinic of Sarasota with Dr. Mark D'Amato, 4450 South Tamiami Trail. Dr. D'Amato is a veterinary chiropractor, treating horses, dogs, or your favorite four-legged friend. First and foremost, animal chiropractic care is not intended to replace traditional veterinary medicine. Complementary care is a type of care that works with your vet, and certainly not instead of them. To find out more information, call Dr. Mark D'Amato at 941-927-7009. That's 941-927-7009. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Mark treats two-legged patients, too. With the animals. With the animals. This part of the Morning Edge is brought to you by Callens, Little, and Delgado, practicing personal injury, criminal defense, and family law. Call 941-749-1446. 941-749-1446.
I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. Turn out the light.
And we are back at the Morning Edge. I'm Floyd J. Winters. We were talking about Planned Parenthood and a few topics on that. We have some callers who may want to call us at 941-745-1490. And at this particular point, we're talking about one thought that perhaps you could do. If you really saw this as an issue, let's go right to the issue. Let's not kill everything that they're doing that's right, helping and providing women's health care, providing STD treatment, providing gynecological exams, providing birth control, providing advice and family planning. Let's take a look at specifically what the issues are, pass legislation that can help that, and that would be of value. So we're going to take our caller. Caller, you're live on the air. Your name is?
Good morning.
Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning, August. Good morning, Floyd J. May I ask you, August, since you're a man of higher education, a quick question. Does an honorary university degree equal the same as a PhD?
Well, if the PhD is one of the paper mill variety, probably so. But if it's
an honorary degree is the same as a paper PhD?
Well, what I mean by a paper PhD is there's certain schools around. There's a university, I think, of Denver, which is not Denver, the same Denver that you know, that's a paper degree. You can buy the damn thing, fill out some forms. And there's a school in this area that does the same thing, named after the county below Manatee. In any event, that's a paper degree.
Now, wait a minute. Augie, what we have here again is, once again,
I'm
an attempt to subvert what we were doing.
Well,
we had a discussion going on.
I know. Let me, please.
And let's not let him accomplish his goal of taking us off track of what we're doing.
Please, Floyd, let me finish my comments. I'm answering the question you asked, Lawrence, and I would say an earned degree is one where you do the disciplines that a degree requires. And in the case of a PhD, you meet usually with advisors and you do two or three times in a semester, as it's called, in a year, depending on the school. Depending on the school, you have different regimens, and the top schools, coming out of England or some, or Harvard or Yale. They do it simply but effectively, and then you have to know the subject enough to stand and talk about it. What is, so does that answer your question? I would say an honorary degree is polite, and it's just that, honorary.
Okay, I'm saying an honorary degree is not the same as a degree.
What's your point, Lawrence? You called
him
at the
point. I was attacked earlier. That's my point. Okay, the man is not a doctor.
Okay, thank you.
You're talking about doctor, the fellow that called himself Dr. Tan. I have no idea about his degree. I don't know what degree he has his degree in. So without getting angry about what degree he claims he has, I have 3 degrees and they're not honorary, if that means anything. And I don't have a PhD, but within 20 hours, if I chose to finish out a certain discipline, I would have a doctorate. But I know nothing about the person that you're talking about, whether he had a real degree or not. And if he doesn't have a real degree, what is it? What he talked about doesn't discredit what he said. It's what he said. So what is your?
So thank you for making your point. We're going to go back to what our discussion was at that particular point.
So that was. I guess that was Lawrence's point.
Was Lawrence's point, and it's just
Well, you get a little worked up. I know.
Well, he has a basic agenda. The agenda is to disrupt whatever conversation we have. And he's accomplishing that. He takes us off topic. He doesn't allow us to discuss.
Floyd, I'm an intelligent person, I think, and I'm going to simply say I'm aware of people who have agendas. But an honest answer to an honest question is a discussion. Yeah. We're able enough, we're talented enough to move on from there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move back to what subject did you want to talk about?
So what we were talking about is, again, the Planned Parenthood controversy and that issue. And if you have a comment on that, if that's what you want to weigh in, we'll gladly listen to you on that particular topic. It is a highly emotional topic. I feel that most Democrats are not really in favor of abortions. They don't want to have abortions. These are things that happen for a variety of reasons.
You do have Democrats who don't believe in abortion whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the things
that's there's a senator in Pennsylvania, and we happen to have had recently a person on the city commission of Sarasota who is anti-abortion. She's a black woman, and she surprised the local Democrats who were touting her victory in the city election there. My God, we didn't know that she was.
Democrats aren't pro-abortion or pro-choice, and the choice happens in a situation
do you really want to speak for Democrats, because I think that's a problem.
I think the surveys have shown that when you have an abortion, it's one of the most traumatic experiences any woman, Democrat or Republican, can have. It's not done in a lighthearted situation. It's done with a lot of. It's a very, very difficult procedure to go through mentally and emotionally and physically.
But you're not a woman. How do you know that? Sorry about that, Floyd. Speaking as though you personally know. Have you been with someone who's done an abortion that they were upset about?
Absolutely. I think almost every man in America has met women who have gone through that experience.
Who've done
and they
an
know what's involved, what's happened. And it's not a light decision for both the man who may be her partner or for the woman. But there are times that you have to use a little bit of common sense. If you can see that the fetus has no brain, there was a recent case where the fetus, actually leaking
you're referring
outside.
Now to a certain kind of abortion. It's called partial birth abortion.
And when I'm not, that's not what caused the brain to leak. It was simply
Partial birth abortion is what the doctor decides to do that situation exists. So that's the procedure that's followed based on what you're talking about.
It may be a partial birth abortion.
Likely,
it may not. But there are things that happen. But if it's, again, rape, if it's incest, if it's a situation, I don't think any woman does this lightly. It's a discussion we'll continue to have, and it's a discussion that the Republicans want to continue to have. That is, the politicians, not the average Republican in America, but the average person running for political office, because this allows us to show us versus them. It allows them to garnish the support of the far right and campaign contributions. It allows them to simply check off.
Why don't we? If we're going to make the issue a moral one, which you suggested,
it's not a moral one. It's
well, I mean, moral from
both
sides.
It's a political issue because there's a party a party that wants to make this. They don't want to lose that abortion discussion. They want to keep that in the political arena because it garners votes.
You're attacking their motive, and I'm not disagreeing with some of the things you're saying. All I'm saying in this regard is that I'll use this. Years ago, I read a headline in a local paper up north, and it was in the Chicago paper, and it was a woman who was a counselor in Chicago, and she had experienced... a 10-year-old who she recommended as a counselor have abortion.
Turns out the 10-year-old was pregnant.
Pregnant, yes. So you wouldn't want an abortion if you weren't. But in any event, this was the case, and it turns out it was her grandfather. And
I'm sorry, her grandfather what?
Who inseminated her.
So it's a 10-year-old who's a victim of incest as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You misheard me. She was needing it. She was 10. She was pregnant. The counselor was recommending an abortion. Turns out the counselor investigated the family. The mother of the child was inseminated. That child was inseminated by the father, who was the grandfather. So the grandfather inseminated both the mother and the daughter. And it goes further back than that. And this not just one situation, but the whole family was built upon incest. Like seven children who had children, their children were attacked or raped or whatever you want to call it, and incest was involved and abortions were involved. So it isn't just a case of an uncommon thing. This counselor said this is so common, and it was a white child. It was not a mixed race child. So it's widespread, it's deep, and it goes to a whole lot of issues. And I think that to understand it is to the devastating effect on the children. I say to people who are pro-choice or versus pro-life, do the pro-choice people choose things out of just the form of contraception? Do the pro-life people choose to protect these children and offer to pay for their education, their housing, and care for these children? And it's a good question.
And there's the question right there. So the people who tend to be more opposed to public housing and helping people from the low-income bracket are the same people opposed to abortion, but if they deliver those children, do they want to support them? Do they want to help them contribute to society? There's that difference right there that I seem to be hypocritical.
But so I don't think it's a matter of party, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, it's not. One of the interesting things is Florida has more Democrats than Republicans, but there is a sizable amount of those Democrats who are also pro-life. And as a consequence, they vote Republican. They have a Democratic philosophy as far as what they want. That is, following the teachings of Christ, helping the needy, helping the low income, helping supporting public schools. But at the same token, they also have this seminal issue, if you will, of being pro-life. And they'll vote Republican, they'll vote against Democrats because of that one particular issue. That's one thing that helps to carry and keep Republicans in power despite the Democratic registration.
The dominant number of Democrats over Republicans in terms of the populace is mostly because these people were ex-felons, because Florida is one of five states that don't forgive and say, you served your time in jail and now you're free to vote. You're denied the vote in Florida very, very often because you have a felony. Once you have a felony, and it can start from a whole raft of little things. A kid in school carrying a gun to school is put in the system and called a felon. Even though it isn't a jailing thing per se, it's listed as a felony.
His record.
Pardon?
He has a record now.
Yeah. Do you know about that? Are you familiar with that?
I have never had a record, so...
No, not you personally, but you know someone who has.
My younger brother, one after me, he's actually in jail right now. No one knows exactly what he did, because no one gave
him. How old is he?
He just turned 17, I want to say.
So he's in what jail?
He's in one in Pinellas County.
So he's in a county jail?
He's in county jail.
Is he in, you don't know if it's for drugs or what it is?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just talked to my mother last night.
So he's under the age, he's under the what might be called the legal age of having a brain that's adult.
Yeah.
And that's 21, actually. The physical brain doesn't mature for sure until that time.
And Freddie, so do you know, I apologize. Freddie, do you know what he's in there for? You don't know at all?
He said he didn't
know. Haven't told us yet, no.
Yeah.
And do you have any kind of clue? Or?
With him, it could be anything at this point.
He dropped out of school, did he?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
He dropped out of school.
So I'm looking at you, Freddie. How big are you?
I'm about 6'2".
6'2". How much do you weigh?
250.
250. So
he's
got 6'2",
well built. Yeah.
250 guy. Nice looking guy. How big is your brother, Freddie?
Oh, he's. I'm sure. I don't even know how tall he is. We don't really have that good relationship.
Is he chubby and short, or is he?
No, he's kind of skinny. He's skinnier than me.
But is he over 6 foot tall?
No, he's.
5 foot five,
yeah. five about foot five six. Seven maybe
five,
five
eight.
Seven.
Yeah, five okay. eight. Was he an athlete?
He played basketball when he was younger, so
uh-huh.
kind of.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think the issue here is we've got a 17-year-old. How long has he been in jail? Do you know?
I talked to my mother last night, and she said that he had just gone. Oh, he'd been in for a little bit, but we didn't. You know, mm-hmm. she saw one of his little girlfriends or whatever. And she told him, oh, your son's in jail. Did you know that? My mom was like, no. No one's called me, you know. So,
nobody missed him from the family meals then.
Well,
I'm wondering, because he's a juvenile, do you think we should not talk about him?
No, because when you hit 17, unfortunately, they can treat you. They decided to penalize you as an adult a lot.
Yeah.
And the prosecutors are able to do that. And they can, what they call, swift line you. And they can bring you into court and get you in the system so fast to make your head swim. It's terrible what goes on.
Well, I know he last month, this month, the 11th, was his birthday, September 11th. He just turned 17.
He went from 16 to 17. He was in jail before he was 17, even.
Yeah.
So they were already, Floyd, treating him as an adult. So it's not about being polite and all that. We're jailing kids all the time, and it costs you out there, the taxpayer, $100 a day. It doesn't take a doctor to know that. And if you don't mind paying $100 a day to put a kid who's not finished high school in our system that doesn't repatriate or bring people back, rehabilitate, all you're doing is teaching them how to be better criminals with our tax money.
And that's true. They're being put in jail with other people with questionable records. And what are they going to learn in there? They're not going to learn math. They're not going to learn science. They're going to learn whatever the people in jail have to teach them.
They're mentors.
We learn from our peers. Pardon?
They're mentors. They're going to be everyone you know, who's there before.
And that's a situation that is a concern.
Now, there is a subject that I'd like to interject here that relates to this from the past. And it's a scandal, and it's called the Dozier Reform School. Anybody know about that? Well,
it's in North Florida.
It's in North Florida. The Reform School opened in 1900 and closed in 2011, and plagued from the start with allegations of brutality at the boys in the school who ended up with causes ranging from committing crimes to skipping school, just not showing up for school. They ended up in this Reform School. Early investigations by state legislatures, boys as young as five chained to walls, victims of brutal beatings, some were hired out as indentured workers, and many lacked proper education, food, and clothing, lawmakers have learned. Conditions for black children who were segregated from the white children were even harsher. It goes on, after a group of Dozier victims known as the White House Boys began telling their stories of abuse at the Reform School, former Governor Charlie Crist asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to look into the school past in 2008, with the agency identifying 81 school-related deaths over its history and 31 burials at the school. U.S. investigation followed, finding records of 45 burials at the Reform School and 31 bodies shipped elsewhere and 22 unknown burials. A cause of death was not cited in the records for the majority of the deaths, although disease, fire, physical trauma, and drowning were causes cited in many, many cases. Some of these kids were burnt alive.
Burnt alive?
Yes. Some of these children died shortly after attempted escapes, and 20 died within 3 months of being sent to the school. The University of South Florida investigated.
And there's different ways you get burned alive. One of them is in the showers. Mm-hmm. And there's been a number of cases that have happened here in Florida where prisoners who misbehaved were put in the showers.
Scalding
and
water.
And turned on super hot. There was one guy that happened just recently, within the past year, his flesh literally melted off of him. And the prison guards were vindicated in that situation. They were charged, but it's amazing. It was an accident that this guy had his flesh melted off of him. We've had a history of things that have happened in Florida in the past when there were a lack of regulations and oversight, and in the future when there's a move towards privatization of prisons, where we've had a lot of abuses. A lot of people die in our prisons. It's a scary place to go, whether you can get yourself AIDS, because rape is sometimes just a matter of indoctrination to some of the prisons that you have, and prison abuse by both the inmates and sometimes by the guards. In Florida, we've had a number of indictments by the guards committing atrocities like the one we just mentioned. So it is an issue to talk about. Then you're talking about putting a 17-year-old boy in there. And what
just turned 17.
With that.
Yeah, so he's 16.
Just turned 17. It's sad because the way things happened with my family is that my parents were actually terminated.
What was terminated?
My parents' parental rights were terminated.
Because?
She was 14 when she had my older brother, and 15 when she had me.
Oh.
She was way too young. That brother was actually adopted. Mm-hmm. And I was never actually officially adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out, like, I'm in a better situation than he was. And I just feel so bad because, you know, like, if he, like, ended up where we were, you know. Because the way his foster parent, like, the foster care system, after living through it, it's horrible.
The foster system
is horrible.
I adopted a 20-month-old girl who's now 40-some years old who was in four foster homes.
Yeah.
And this one family so traumatized her. Mm-hmm. They put her in, she had a bad left eye. Couldn't see well, and they had her in a high chair in the kitchen, and the stairway was right there, and they had a dog in the basement, and every time she tried to get up out of the high chair, they would open the door and the dog would start barking, so she was frightened, terrified of dogs.
Horrible.
And then when she got her food, she was so grateful she inhaled it literally. Mm-hmm. So she ended up developing a megacolon out of that. So the consequences of this bad system we have of uncaring people gets all kinds of results, and you're citing one, I'm citing one, and I'm sure there are many, many more.
Yep.
The social injustice that we don't care. The guards in New York, state of New York, the guards in the state of California, all in many cases, basically have a union that encourages brutality, protect the guards, don't care, and really do not care about the prisoners. They have the freedom to brutalize, and they do it. And that's what the Reform School was about. And, of course, the Reform School was not renewed, and that's what we had. We have a caller.
I tried to put the caller on, because we're running down
to
our time.
We're down to the last minute.
We're down to our last minute before we put our theme song on. So, Augie, any conclusions, any kind of wrap-up you'd like to make?
I just think that it's time that people cared about their fellow man. I thought the Pope talked about the Golden Rule. We saw Mr. Boehner weep in self-guilt and leave the chairmanship of the Republican Party in his role as an indication of his being moved. And if people look, the Pope, you don't have to be a Catholic to be moved by the social injustice, just a human being. It really matters that you care about your fellow man. But we're going to be talking about more of these things down the road here, Floyd, and you're not going to be with us on Friday, but Freddie will be here, and we're going to have Dennis Mealy, I hope, as our usual Friday guest.
Okay. See you guys back on Friday, except for I will not be here. Have a good
week.
See
you on the following Monday.
Yeah. You're listening to 1490 AM, WWPR, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay.